Our Father's Word is so perfect. Our Father's Word is complete. He has one little word that means be of good cheer, be of good confidence, be of good courage. And He drops that on us at some of the most unexpected times. And even in the Septuagint, the same Greek word, tharseo, comes forth. It means so much, and it is God's assurance that, hey, I'm with you. What are you worried about? I've got everything under control, and I love you. So what's the big deal? Okay. You know, so pretty soon you come to the conclusion, if you know He can cut it, and He's watching after you as well, then you can be of good confidence. You can be of good courage. You can be of good cheer because He is with you. Open your Bibles to the Old Testament, Minor Prophets, Haggai. Haggai means feast or festival. It's the Passover. It's our final Passover, and it speaks to that time when He will take it anew with us in that festival that is coming. We're going to pick it up with chapter 2, the book of Haggai. And verse 4, and it reads, "Yet now be strong." Don't be weak, don't be discouraged, don't be inefficient. Be strong, O Zerubbabel. Do you know what Zerubbabel means? It means those born in Babel, but they came out. They were born in confusion, but they learned truth. Be strong, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people, not just part of you, all of you, of the land, saith the Lord, and work. Work what? Work for me. Work for Father. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. That goes a long way. You and He make a majority. You can always count on that. Verse 5, this is why we came here. In the Septuagint, it reads a little different, but that's okay. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. That means be of good cheer. Reverence me. Love me. I will protect you. And you know what? This has to do with the very end times right now. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. 7, and I will shake all nations. They may swarm, they may slither, but I'm going to shake them. And the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. There's only one that can bring in the desire and fulfillment and peace of mind to all people everywhere, and that's on the first day of the millennium, when every knee shall bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is He that is the desire. Even though the false one comes first, He with this desire. Well, you might say, well, we're going to have to go through some stuff. Piece of cake. No step for a stepper. Why? Well, be of good confidence. He's with us. You don't have anything to worry about. Be strong, for God is still on the throne. Okay. Verse, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, this new house is the many-membered body of Christ that Christ said He would put together, that He would bring forth. It's God's election. Those that God leads, that He touches, changes lives, and brings them forth into the truth of that word that is broadcast, the seed being that word. And that truth grows. It sprouts. God causes it to sprout. And it is strong. And it brings forth a crop. And that crop is the children of the living God. And that latter house is far more beautiful than the first. For it is His elect as they come into the fullness as God would have them do. Turn with me now to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 1. And he entered in, this is Christ, and he entered into a ship, and he passed over, and he came into his own city. That'd be Capernaum, okay? City of consolation. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, I want you to note, he saw what? He observed their faith. And he said unto the sick man of palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Tarsia, son. Be confident. Be brave. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Whoa. Only God can forgive sins. So what are the murmurers going to say around close by here? Verse 3, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Verse 4, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Why are you so wicked? Why do you have such a crooked mind? Verse 5, for whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? I mean, this man is paralyzed. Verse 6, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and go into thine house. Verse 7, and he arose and departed to his house, carried his own bed, which is a pallet, okay, a bedroll. Verse 8, and when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. I don't want you just to take that and absorb it and say, well, what a lucky person that was, because you see, it applies to you also today. That God has power to forgive sins through the Son. So many people like to hang on to little old things. Like, they think they're perfect and God won't forgive them. He has that authority. He has that power, and that's why he says, be of good cheer. Be of confidence and be of courage. Let me tell you something. Until you receive that, God can't use you a whole lot. Until you can be solid, upright, and faith in the Word of God, and to know that Christ is on the throne of God as well, and that He has overcome, and He issues that power and authority to you to make your stand and to have confidence. And in that confidence, it brings forth good cheer, makes you a happy person. Why? Because we have the victory, because we overcome. Now let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 23:1, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. Now, the Romans are up above watching him, and they're going to let him make an address now. 2, and the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. You slap him right in the mouth. That's the high priest. Lovable guy, right? Verse 3, then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? What kind of lawyer are you? In other words, he wasn't a high priest. He was a priest appointed by a Roman governor. He was a fake, a fraud. Verse 4, and they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Whoa! Wasn't God's high priest, okay? Verse 5, then said Paul, I was not, brethren, that he was the high priest. I didn't know that. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Meaning, he's not our ruler. He's a fraud. But verse 6, but when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. Now the Sadducees say when you die, you breathe your last breath, you turn up your heels, you get buried, that's it. Okay. End of story. So what he has done, he has found this gulf that is between this group, divided. And he's going to take advantage of every bit of it. Okay. And let's go with verse 8. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. It's just, when it's over, the Sadducees say. Verse 9, and there arose a great cry, and the scribes, this is the leaders, this is your scholars, okay, biblical scholars, higher critics of that time, that were of the Pharisees, part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. I mean, he believes the way we do. How can we find evil in him, okay? But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. Verse 10, and when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces, of them commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him to the council. Do you know what happened that night? This is when you know you're on the right track. This is when you know you're doing what pleases God. Verse 11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him. I repeat, stood by him. And said, be of good cheer, Thorsius. Be confident, be brave, be of good courage. Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And so it was that there would be 40 of these people that would put themselves under a curse. We're going to kill Paul. Now, wait a minute. Here you got 40 of these Sadducees that are going to murder Paul, or they're never going to eat again. And Christ himself has just told him, you're going to Rome. You're going to testify there. And in testifying there, he wrote a lot of the New Testament that we cherish today. Be of good cheer. Why? God's on the throne. You know, it could look pretty dark if you were to look around yourself at that time. I mean, they're about to pull him in two and everything. And here the Romans, which they didn't have too much play in the thing other than they were supposed to keep peace, they pulled him out. But what counted most? Christ stood by him. And stated the word "Thorsio." Be confident. You're going to Rome. No ifs, no ands, no maybes. No somewhere in between. You're going to do it. Now, this is the faith you must come to in serving Almighty God. When He says, be of good cheer and be of good faith, this is how it's going to be. Guess what? That is how it's going to be. And you can count on it. Now, we still have this promise. We still have this saying today. Be of good cheer. Tharseo. Be confident. Be strong in the Lord. Because it's going down the way He said it would. All you have to do is read the Word. All you have to do is absorb the Word. And there's no mystery. As it is written in Mark chapter 13, behold, I have foretold you all things. Have you read it? Have you read it with understanding? Then it becomes clear and in plain sight that God is on that throne. And as He has said it's going down, it always has and it always will. It's going to happen exactly as He has stated it would happen. That should give you comfort. Well, some of it sounds pretty scary. You will never find a part in God's Word where He isn't protecting you. And that you and He make a majority. There is nothing there to fear but to be of good cheer. To be confident. To know that He is on that throne. John chapter 16. And incidentally, the people that put a curse on them that they wouldn't eat anymore, they had a long dry spell. A very long dry spell. Jesus is passing the word, hey, I'm going to speak in parables a little bit. I'm going to be here, but I'm going to be gone, but I'm coming back. And you're going to be sad, and you're going to weep. But then you're going to rejoice. They couldn't quite put all that together. And Christ, in this chapter, kind of helps them out. Let's pick it up with St. John 16, verse 19. And Jesus, when they were very desirous to ask Him, and said unto Him, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while? And you shall not see me, and again, a little while, and you shall see me. Verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Well, there's part of them going to be happy. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. He always promises that. And you can have that joy coming out the gate if you take the shortcut and believe and have faith to know. 21, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. The labor pains are there. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. In other words, the pain is nothing compared to the joy. And when He would be away from them for a while, it would be nothing compared to the strength they would draw from Him and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, when they would return. 22. And you know, therefore, and you now, rather, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And don't allow it. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Do you know something? That is a truth. What He's talking about is when you're working for Him. If you need something to grow His ministry, all you got to do is do the work and He'll furnish it. He'll provide it. He will never let you down. He will always be there. This very ministry is living proof of that. 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. And so it is. But what gives you real joy is seeing God's word come to pass and feeling the touch of the Holy Spirit and knowing that not only is he cheerful and of good conscience to you, but you are to him because you're doing a good job. These things have I spoken to you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. I'm just going to lay it out for you. At that day, you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. 27, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. This is powerful stuff, beloved. Hang on to it here. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. But he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. Spiritually, through the Comforter, he is always with us. That is the plain truth. Now listen carefully. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. We understand. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. But this we believe, that thou camest forth from God. We know. 31, Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? And you got to remember what this crew is going to do to him in just a few hours. They're going to run like a bunch of rabbits. Okay. Verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. 33, one of the most important verses in God's Word. Listen to it. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Count on it. But be of good cheer. Thorsio. Be strong. Be of good courage. Be intelligent. I have overcome the world. Do you understand what that means? I have overcome the cosmos. I have overcome the world. If you are in him and he is in you, what does that make you? An overcomer. You have overcome the world. Then what is there to be afraid of if you've overcome? Well, I just like to worry. I just like to be afraid of stuff. Then you're not a very strong Christian, are you? Because where is your faith? Without faith, you don't go very far. So again, we come back to that word, throseo. Be confident. That's why Christ repeated it over and over. Be of good cheer. Be confident. Be strong. He's pleading with you to do that. Why worry? Why be a doubter? I have overcome the world. What are you worried about it for? There's nothing out there I can't handle. There's nothing out there I won't handle. Every nation, I'm going to shake them, rake them, bring them down, and establish a kingdom that will be eternal. I have overcome the cosmos. I've overcome the world. That's what he's saying. That's why you can be of good cheer. That's why you can love him. That's why you can follow him. He continues on, and I'm going to go a few verses into it. We got plenty of time. A lot of people think that the Lord's Prayer is back in Matthew. It isn't. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the Lord telling you how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is in the 17th chapter. The prayer of Christ in this book of St. John. Just after he convinced you that he had overcome the world, and that's why you could be of good cheer. Now, I'm going to say that again so it sinks in real good. The reason he's saying you can be of good courage is, he said, I beat the world. I'm in charge. I'm at the right hand of God. You've got something to celebrate. You've got something to bring joy and cheer into your heart. And then he begins talking to our Father in this prayer. It is some of the strongest scripture in God's Word. Listen to it. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he said, Father. He never called our Father God. Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also may glorify thee. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Don't read over that. God has given Christ power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Wait. Who has God given him? The election. Those he chose before the foundation of this world. He was remembering you in this prayer to Almighty God. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, that they can be assured of it. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. It's over. This segment is finished. I've overcome. I'm in charge. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now think about that. Before this earth ever existed, the full Godhead, both the Father and Son, if you want to look at it that way, if it makes it easier, both roles were together before this ever was. And you might think about that a moment and wonder if he's got the power to overcome. Well, I think he built it. He created it. He knows what makes it tick. He knows what warming and cooling is. He's on the throne. He's in charge. He's overcome the cosmos. I think he can cut it, okay? I think he can handle it real well. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And they're going to. God's elect, you cannot shake them from the truth. Doesn't matter what happens. They're not going to part from the truth. Now, they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. They know it's real. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. They're true believers. They have faith. They have knowledge. Why? Well, how can he be so sure of that? He chose them before the foundations of this earth age. He knows whom he can trust. Why? Because he's been there before. They stood against Satan even at that time, and so it's a piece of cake to do it again. Especially when you know he has overcome. He's got it made. He's got it by the neck, okay? And he can squeeze anytime he wants to. He can shake. He can rattle. He can get the attention anywhere He wants it. And He chose you because you chose Him. It's awesome. He has overcome the world. I pray for them, and I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. You don't think you're special to Him? Don't even go there. And all Mine are Thine, and Thine are Mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are one. Protect them. Watch over them. That is a plea that He has never let us down on. When you stick with Him, you know, there's not a one of us that doesn't get off on a shaky road every once in a while, but don't worry. He knows how to get you back, and He won't have any trouble doing it. Why? He's overcome. If He's going to use you, He's going to keep you, and He's going to keep a tight rein as far as in the service. You can count on it. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest Me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. Not one. Now think about that. I base one of the statements you hear me make quite often on that statement. But the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. You have all heard me say that I do not believe the unpardonable sin will be committed, because I know God's election, and I base it on that Scripture primarily. I have kept, and none of them is lost. Not one. Not one of them committed the unpardonable sin, and not one of them will commit the unpardonable sin if they are truly in Him and God's elect are. The son of perdition. What is the word perdition in the Greek? That means to perish. Well, who was that? Well, back to Ezekiel 28. Satan's going to perish. He's going to turn to ashes from within. He didn't want to save him. So when somebody comes up and says to you, even Satan's going to be transformed into an angel of light, be wise enough to know the Greek is he's going to come disguised as an angel of light. He's a dead man walking. And he's going to lead a lot of other people away with him. It is so important to me that Christ, in His final prayer, which is the Lord's Prayer, He didn't ask for a whole lot for Himself. But He asked a whole bunch for you. Those that were still here on earth. Those that still had work to do here on earth. He asked a lot. Being protected. Being strengthened. And just before the prayer began, He said, hey, you can be of good courage. I've got the dummies strangled. I've overcome the world. You got nothing to sweat. And then He said, Father, it's time. So He wanted you to know He is the overcomer. And when you're in Him, with Him, don't let me see you shaking in your boots. There is nothing to worry about. We can cut it. Why? Because He has overcome. He knows how it's done. And that's no step for a stepper. All right. The called out ones, those that were chosen, He's going to use them. They play a very important part. Do you think it's because they're so special that you're really something on a stick? You know, that God's elect. No, He chose you because He wants you to convert other children, His children, that He loves, and they're going astray, and He wants them brought into the fold. But He has one group that he knows he can trust. And that's why he says, be strong. Because you have to be. Because you were sent, not because you were the prettiest or you knew the most. But because God's children are lost in this world. And they need that truth. They need to see you in action, even as one of God's elect, showing the way, planting seeds, making a difference. Always remember, you cannot make a seed grow, but you can plant one. Only God can make a seed grow. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for bringing us good cheer, for confidence, for intelligence, Father. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for overcoming this world. Lord only knows it needed it, Father. And Father, when the shaking comes, let it come. For we know that you will do it in a way that will be wonderful and gracious in the way you do all things. We thank you in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The mark of the beast.